What happens when the desires you've hidden for decades suddenly become possible? Sarah Kay, a 40-something divorced mother, spent years nurturing elaborate fantasies, imagining a commanding lover who would spank her, bind her, and take complete control. These weren't fleeting thoughts, but detailed scenarios she replayed constantly, convinced they were too strange to share. Then came the wine-fueled confession with friends that revealed she wasn't alone. Several women in her circle harbored similar secrets, creating a revelation. Maybe her desires weren't aberrant, but simply unspoken. This realization launched Sarah on a journey from fantasy to reality, exploring BDSM, bondage, discipline, dominance, submission, in ways that would challenge everything she thought she knew about pleasure, power, and herself. Sarah's fantasies featured a Prince Charming who intuitively understood her desires, silk scarves, perfectly timed commands, choreographed scenes. Reality proved messier. Her ex-husband Ray dismissed her interest as weird porn stuff, while Henry's horrified reaction to spanking confirmed her fears of being seen as perverted. She posted on a BDSM website, 40-something female, novice submissive, with lots of imagination but no real-time experience. 40 responses revealed BDSM enthusiasts were ordinary people, lawyers, teachers, accountants, seeking connection through unconventional preferences. Max stood out, focusing on domination's mental aspects rather than immediate physical gratification. Max happened to be a dom. It wasn't his entire identity. When Max suggested meeting, he warned that BDSM required a formal contract, outlining boundaries and safe words. His follow-up email shifted their dynamic, instructing Sarah to call him Sir and specifying outfit details. He requested her measurements for a collar and cuffs. This assertion of control both unsettled and excited her. Their first cafe meeting cemented their chemistry when Max ordered without asking. Tea and lemon drizzle cake, her favorite, demonstrating how dominance meant paying careful attention while making decisions on her behalf. A week later, Sarah found herself blindfolded in her sitting room, responding to Max with, "Yes, sir," or "No, sir." Though initially feeling ridiculous, she complied with the contract they'd signed, which outlined her obligations, safe words, and safety protocols. Their first scene demonstrated how theory translated to reality. Blindfolded and trembling, Sarah protested when Max produced handcuffs. She'd stipulated against being tied up. Max pointed out she'd only rolled out ropes specifically. Though annoyed at being outwitted, she trusted him completely. The spanking hurt far more than imagined, yet the pain amplified pleasure unexpectedly. As she approached orgasm, he suddenly stopped, explaining that things happen according to my timetable, not yours, asserting their control dynamic. This experience revealed something crucial. Sarah couldn't separate these intense physical experiences from emotional connection as she'd naively planned. The contract served not just as rules, but as a framework for the emotional and psychological journey they were beginning together. Sarah's first experience with the flogger revealed BDSM's intricate dance between pain and pleasure. Soft suede strips delivered hot, stinging sensations as she counted each stroke. "Let go, I'm here," Max encouraged. By the 10th stroke, her knees buckled. He caught her, praising, "Good girl," the submissive's vulnerability, creating space for the dominant's protection. The dynamic deepened through shared secrets. Max invited her to dinner at a Norfolk Coast restaurant, specifying she wear only a Burberry trench coat, pearl earrings, high heels, and holdups, nothing underneath. When the waiter offered to take her coat, she panicked. Max handed her a gift bag containing a sequined dress. Though her nipples remained visible, she returned exhilarated, trust, risk, and reward intertwining. The culmination came when Max suspended Sarah from a tree branch in a secluded woodland clearing. Naked, gagged, blindfolded, and suspended, she felt intensely alive. Through 12 agonizing crop strokes, she sobbed and begged him to stop, yet never signaled to end it. Afterward, Max held her tenderly, comfort after pain, creating an experience transcending either sensation alone. Sarah's relationship with Max introduced her to the broader BDSM community. At Georgina's dinner party, a 6'4" transgender woman who moved in a great cloud of Chanel No. 5, Sarah wore a silver collar engraved with "The Property of Max." The evening revealed the lifestyle's social structures. Anita asked Max about sharing Sarah, introducing polyamory concepts. Submissives sat on floor cushions. Some ate from bog bowls, while others, like Sarah, were hand-fed by their doms. Georgina's green room appeared luxurious, except for metal rings embedded throughout. Max explained that if they stayed, Sarah would sleep chained to a narrow mattress while he took the comfortable bed. Masters and subs don't sleep together. Georgina's dungeon, a playroom with its own entrance that she rented as a pension plan, housed equipment resembling gym machines until you noticed the cuffs and chains. Barry demonstrated suspension bondage while safety supplies lined the walls. This glimpse showed Sarah that what she'd considered a private sexual preference was, for many, an integrated lifestyle with established etiquette and community support. Despite their intense power dynamic, genuine feelings emerged. Max confessed, "I'm falling in love with you." Sarah questioned whether real love could coexist with BDSM, but Max insisted his dom role didn't diminish his emotions. Their Paris trip deepened this connection through luxury and ritual, days of sightseeing, nights of bondage where she slept on a mattress beside his bed. The unwavering structure felt oddly comforting. But vulnerability brought complications. They encountered Abby, Max's ex and mother of his daughter Ellie, in the hotel lobby. Abby claimed Max still loved her and they were living together. Max explained Abby needed help and admitted, "There's Ellie to think about." The next morning, Sarah packed early. She told Max she was falling in love, but could see he wasn't over Abby. She returned the necklace key and left, crying all the way to the airport, proof that BDSM relationships face the same emotional challenges as conventional ones, competing attachments, past commitments, and the complexity of balancing different loves. After Paris, Sarah chose healing over Max, spending 2 weeks at Gabby's coastal cottage. She emailed Max explaining she needed someone capable of complete love. Months later, Alex, from her original ad, called. Though hesitant, Sarah agreed to meet, recognizing she couldn't find connection while hiding. In her epilogue, Sarah clarifies her book chronicles personal experiences, not instructions. Everything was consensual and safe. Max expertly guided her through BDSM basics, but after their breakup, she sought someone who could enjoy both BDSM and vanilla intimacy. She found him, married him, and now lives what passes for ordinary, sometimes tied to the bed, other times reading together snuggled up. Sarah's journey represents mature understanding. Alternative sexuality can enhance rather than define relationships. Her final happy acceptance of part of my nature emphasizes that submission isn't her entire identity, but one authentic expression alongside many others. The real discovery wasn't about handcuffs, but about acknowledging suppressed desires, trusting completely, and integrating all parts of herself. True power lies not in dominance or submission, but in being wholly, unapologetically yourself.